This seems to be working. It's hard to say for sure, but you know, life is hard to say for sure. Oh. Hey guys, this is Rich Outfield, and it's a lovely sunny spring day in my world. Judging by the rate that I get these damned things out, it'll be, you know, the onset of winter by the time you're hearing this, but oh, I can't let that discourage me. Maybe that'll be the theme of this episode. I had intended to ride around the block. At my dad's house, I found this super archaic, not a Walkman, probably a predecessor to a Walkman. It was just a radio that had headphones attached to it that he had in his closet, in addition to like 15 broken sets of headphones. And there actually was a traditional Walkman there, you know, the cassette player kind. I'm assuming these are just things that he had picked up in his travels. Anyhow, this radio thing, I looked at it and I thought, well, I vaguely remember having something like it once, 30-something years ago, maybe more. And I put it on and flipped the switch and suddenly it started playing. And I thought, wow, the batteries are still good on this thing, which either means that batteries lasted a long time in those days, or he had used it recently enough that the batteries weren't dead. And so I was working around the house. We're trying to get the house in a condition where we can sell it. And after 40 years of accruing junk and, you know, life too, it's a really uphill struggle to clean it out. I've talked to you before about my upbringing, my childhood. It's not so much of a farm as just a big area that could be used for farming, but instead pretty much filled with junk. I have a really bad tendency to accrue things. I go to Goodwill and I look and see if there's anything that looks good. I buy books that I'm never ever going to read, and I know it. And I feel bad when I see the hundreds of items that just pile up, and it is like those shows where people have newspapers for 25 years just piled up because for some reason they couldn't throw it away. I'm able to justify it because I feel like I'll sell those books, or, oh, that toy that I bought, that's going to be worth something. It's something that my dad would do. He would go to yard sales and buy things that people didn't want with either the intent to fix it up someday and sell it, or more likely just the idea that somebody could use that at some point and it would be neat if he had it. I'm trying to come up with an example because there are so many examples. But okay, here's a good example. We have several garages in that house, at that property. One is called the Tin Garage. One is called the Bicycle Shop. A couple are barns. There's one that my mom used to call the Pink Palace because it was salmon colored. I feel like I've already shared this with someone. I think it was big and he just couldn't understand. See, his upbringing was different. His parents had so many children that they couldn't feed them all, let alone waste money on junk. You know, that's a difference, maybe not the difference. But in the Tin Garage, there were all of these mining helmets. They are hats kind of thing with a lamp on them. And my aunt said that my dad got those from a yard sale, and instead of buying one, he bought them all, and he showed them off to everybody that would look, and he's, look how neat this is. Like a glimpse into the past, into another world. And so there are these mining hats. But what on earth do you do with them? I don't have an answer. A lot of stuff I have arbitrarily thrown away. And then other stuff I have talked to my siblings about or talked to my mom about and threw those away too. Which brings us back to the multiple headphones, headsets, and the Walkmans and that junk. Anyway, I got this radio and I was listening to it while we were working. And I liked it. I liked that it was technology that existed when I was a kid. I had one kind of like it. I took it with me and I thought, you know, next time I go on a bike ride, I'll put that on and I'll just listen to the radio while I'm riding. Maybe it'll give me a bit of extra energy, as music is prone to doing. And that's what I intended to do today. The sun came out. I was editing an audiobook and I felt the heat of the sun through the window on me and I thought, oh, I should go out there and enjoy this sunshine. I'm a big fan of the sun. And, you know, my pragmatic voice said, you're supposed to be editing this. You have a deadline. Edit for a few hours and then you can go out and reward yourself with some sunshine. And then whatever's a step above pragmatic, like an intellectual voice said, sir, if you wait a few hours, there will be no sun. It will be night. And so I thought, okay. And I stopped the audiobook and I got up and I went outside and I was going to go get that radio. And I stopped myself and I thought, no, I should record. I did. I grabbed this device and I'm recording as I bicycle, hence the gasping. This is the third episode I think I've done this way. And boy, I remember the last one. I was wheezing through half of it. I would say a few words, take a gasping breath, say a few more words, and it's probably not great to listen to. But I don't know. I mean, what do I record that is great to listen to? Ah, that brings us to the topic I wanted to talk about today. The thing is, in a very recent episode, like a week ago, I talked about discovering that there were other people out there that do what I do, only they have higher production values. They are funnier. They got there first. They have a YouTube show. They're very attractive. They've got a group of friends and each one brings something new to the table that makes them a cohesive team. And it bummed me out because I started to question myself. Why do I have a podcast? Why do Marshall and I have a Star Wars podcast? I don't know what the conclusion was that I came to. But in the days since recording that episode, I've seen a few more. And I don't want to call them my competitors. But that's what they are. Ultimately, there are only so many people that listen to podcasts. And we're competing for the same listeners. The same small listenership. And so ultimately, whether I like it or not, they are my competitors. Oh, also, Big put out an episode of his podcast, The Ankle Cast, and it was almost exactly what I do, not on a bicycle, of course, but he was talking about becoming frustrated because nobody listens to his show. I guess he looked at the stats, and that's something I stopped doing so long ago. Because it only creates depression. When you start thinking about how many people might this go out to and how many people, you know, in my case for Patreon, are supporting me financially for my endeavors, you feel like, oh gosh, what's the use? But if you're doing it for yourself and just tell yourself it's something you were going to do anyway, it's not so bad. Anybody that tosses a dollar or two your way is gravy, dessert. I don't know. But believe me, I have felt what Big has felt on multiple occasions. I want to say that I have felt what Big has felt way more than Big has. But it's not a competition. it's just fair to say that, yes, I've been discouraged before, and I have realized that I've created something and, well, almost nobody listened to it or appreciated it or mentioned it. And with something like Celebrity Dungeons and Dragons, that's a shame, because I worked hard on that, and in the back of my mind it was like, well, look, this is something I can do that other people cannot do. So if anything is going to shine a spotlight on me, it's going to be this. Plus, I also wanted people to be like, holy cow, that was great. Why don't you do one with Keanu Reeves? Or why don't you do one with Nicolas Cage? Or why don't you do one with Christopher Lloyd? Or why don't you do one with Warwick Davis? Although, it's no fun to make fun of Warwick Davis, guys. Because for years, I have been an artist that does his art for himself. I only have myself to impress. I only have myself to please. And I only have myself to answer to. In looking at some of these people who are younger than me, they are more tech savvy than me, they have better equipment than me, they are better looking than me, or, sadly, in a couple cases, are more talented than me, or funnier than me, that made me wonder if I should keep going, if I should keep on keeping on. And I don't have an answer. I mean, it's something that only I can answer anyway. But like with Big being upset that he made a video podcast and nobody cared, nobody paid more attention to it, even though he worked harder on it than he did on his regular show, I don't have an answer for him as to whether it's worth it for the extra effort or whether he should just continue the audio-only podcast that he's had these years, or whether he should even continue doing that. It is something that only he can answer, because he knows what he gets out of it, whether he gets something or not. Listen, for example, I am now riding farther than I've ever ridden on this bicycle. I got this bicycle last year, the same week that I lost my job. Gosh, it's hard to put myself back there and figure out why I would buy a bicycle when I just lost my job. Mostly it was, okay, look, I've had this job, I've complained about this job for 7 years, and now it's gone. So I'm going to just turn a new page in the book of Rish Outfield, and I'm going to change and do things differently. And the Rish Outcast became practically a weekly thing at that point. And I bought this bicycle and I started exercising. I started writing a lot more. And only I can say whether it was successful or not. But let me put it this way. Without working at that job, I'm making as much as I did a year ago today when I had that job. That's got to say something. I don't know. There are times when I really miss it. Partly because it was something that defined me. I always worked there. So people would say, oh, you still working over? And I'd be like, yep. Yet it was really frustrating. And I remember so many times when I wanted to be doing something else. I mean, the boss was a real prick. I don't think anyone would disagree with me on that. Even people that don't use the word prick would agree. And I'm super happy to not have to deal with corporate America and management and that stuff. But anyway, in this week, I've watched more stuff from other people, from my competitors. That's what it was. Holy cow, over a mile ago, I brought this up. And some of it was pretty good. Like I said, there are people that are funnier than me. There are people that are more talented than me, that are more clever, that have more poignant, more unique points of view, that have more dynamic personalities. And that's rough. But at the same time, there are other people. Like, there's this one guy, and he does movie reviews on YouTube. And he's got nothing to bring to the fore. He's got nothing that makes him a good movie reviewer. He's not funny. His viewpoints aren't particularly sharp. He's one of those guys that says, for me personally, I didn't like this movie very much. This movie was terrible. From beginning to end, it was terrible. Hey, thank you for listening to my review. And you're like, whoa, what? That was it? That's what you... He has an impressive backdrop. And the thing that's most impressive about this guy is that he's very good looking. And I saw him on a couple episodes where he'd bring his girlfriend in. And she was as banal as he is, maybe more so. But boy, was she good looking. And so there they are, both saying, well, this movie was all right. I personally didn't find it scary. What did you think, honey?
Yeah, right.
It's like, I liked the main actor.
Yeah, okay, I did too.
And just be like, wow, she has no personality at all. She has nothing except for her looks, which are considerable. Yeah, she didn't even have an opinion. As lukewarm as his opinion was, she was just a very attractive parrot. Then you look down at the bottom and how many views it has. And you think each one of those views represents an ad that somebody sat through. And that's ad revenue for this guy. And it should have really paralyzed me with depression, because I'm never going to be this guy. I'm never going to have that girl on my arm. But you know, I can make a better movie review than he can without trying. I mean, why even bother reviewing a movie where your opinion is, it was all right. I mean, it wasn't great, but I didn't hate it. I mean, me personally, I felt like it could have been better. But you know, it could have been worse too. Why even review that? If anything, it gave me a little push where I thought, you know, I can do better than that, and I'm going to do better than that. And yes, I'm not going to have hundreds of thousands of views, but the people that listen to my review are at least going to get something out of it. Even if it's me becoming angry or frustrated or stumbling over myself trying to describe why I loved it so much. Just ew, though. The idea of going out to thousands of people with nothing more than it was all right. Me personally. Anyway, that was just sickening. And I thought, you know, I'm going to continue doing my show and doing my best and maybe seeing if I can't raise the bar on my best a little bit. So that's what happened. I went for a bike ride, a long one. 3 miles? More than 3 miles. And I was podcasting the whole time, unless, of course, I pulled this device out and realized that I accidentally hit stop. In which case, you're not hearing any of this. And it was not all for nothing, because I got some exercise. Maybe I'll live to be another year old after this. Anyway, kids, I'd like to share something with you, like a song or something, so I'll put that on here, but I'm going to keep on keeping on, even if nobody's listening. I mean, again, I encourage you to mention in the comments or in an email or on Facebook if you liked listening to this episode, if you liked the Rish Outcast, if you like me. But even if nobody does that, I haven't reached the point where I'm going to give up yet. I'm just going to keep going. And I can do it. Well, me and Fake Sean can do it. You'll see. Good night.
The Rish Outcast is presented under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license.
It's free to listen to, copy, share, and delete, especially that last one. But you cannot sell it or make claims on it yourself.
There's also a Patreon fund attached to it, if you've lost hold of your senses and want to encourage more of the show.
The music in the show was by Kevin MacLeod over at incompetech.com. MacLeod, I am told, also has a license to kill.
Like, there's this one guy, and he does movie reviews. F*** you. There's this one guy, and he does movie...
You.
There's this one guy and he does movie reviews.
Hey, fake Sean.
Oh, Christ, no.
I've got a song for you.
No, I'm not in the mood for it.
Not in the mood. It's got to be something I can do.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, lad, but no.
Come on, fake Sean. It seems a shame to waste a beautiful night like this.
It is a lovely night, but... What are you doing?
Swaying to the music.
It's a classic from back when I was relevant.
Oh, this is going to be terrible.
I'll get you in the mood. You'll see, fake Sean.
All right. Play the damned thing.
Just do it. Let your body go.
You hear that? Doesn't that remind you of better times when you were on an island eating things that they have on islands? Like maybe biting into a coconut or something. I'm not sure what people do on islands. It's not a very good impression of me.
When it feels like the world is on your shoulders and all of the madness has got you going crazy, it's time to get out, step out into the street where all of the action is right there at your feet.
Well, I know a place where we can dance the whole night away
underneath electric stars.
Just come with me and we can shake your blues right away. You'll be doing fine once the music starts.
Fake Sean!
Feel the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind.
We can leave them all behind.
Oh, the rhythm of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Am I getting through to you?
I'm just bringing back a memory of three. Perhaps I'll indulge you for a moment.
Look out on the street now. The party's just beginning. The music's playing. A celebration starting. Under the street lights, the scene is being set.
A night for romance. A night I won't forget.
So come join the fun. This ain't no time to be staying home.
Ooh, there's too much going on.
Tonight is gonna be a night like I've never known. We're gonna have a good time the whole night long.
Oh!
To the beat of the rhythm of the night. Dance until the morning light. Forget about the worries on your mind. You can leave them all behind.
To the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Oh, the rhythm of the night.
Oh, yeah. El DeBarge.
What? What did you call me?
No, that's the name of the man or the group, or it might have been a teenage girl that sang this song.
What is that god-awful sound?
I don't know. It's only on this version.
Oh.
Okay, so there's this terrible instrumental section here in the middle that just... I'm gonna skip it.
Come join the fun, this ain't no time to be staying home. Ooh, there's too much going on. No, tonight is gonna be a night like you've never known. We're gonna have a good time the whole night long.
Oh,
to be the rhythm of the night.
Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind.
You can leave them all behind.
To be the rhythm of the night.
Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind.
You can leave them all behind.
Beat of the rhythm of the night.
Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind.
Oh.
To the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind.
You can leave them all behind.
Feel the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind.
You can leave them all.
La 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 la.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
La 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 la.
La 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 la. Dance until the morning light.
Forget about the worries on your mind.
You can leave them all behind.
Come on. Let your hair down. Oh, sorry.
Hey, Rish here. Rish, outfield of the future. Enjoying my cybernetic implants that make me run like a 20-year-old
Make me as strong as a 30-year-old. Make me as smart as a 4-year-old, apparently, from the cleverness with which I'm introducing myself. This was a short episode. I figured I'd add this little tiny thing on. I just recorded a story for Abigail Hilton called Water in the Desert, and it's a... I don't want to say it's a follow-up or a sequel, but it's a story set in the world of the Hunter's Unlucky series. How do I describe it? The very first book that I did for Abigail Hilton, that I did the audio book for, was called Hunter's Unlucky, and it was this big epic fantasy book with various species living on this island called Lydian, and they had wars, and they had alliances, and they had their interpersonal conflicts, and I did the whole book, and I still think to this day it's the largest project I've ever done. Then last year she had me do a story that was set in that same universe not long after that book. Then this year she had me do one, and it's set 7 years later, and luckily there's really only two characters from Hunter's Unlucky that return. And they were children before and they're adults now, and so it wasn't as difficult as it might have been to try and figure out how I did the voices for those characters. But the book is, the novella, the short story, whatever you want to call it, it's quite good, and it's available for purchase if you would like to listen to it, listen to the audio. And this comes at a time when I'm really struggling with my own writing, not feeling motivated, questioning my silly notion that I could ever be a writer. And Abigail's book is really simple, or it seems really simple, one or the other, I'm not quite sure which, and it just made me wonder about, you know, whether I should continue trying to write. And the thing is, I'm always going to be a writer. I've written stories just for my own entertainment since I think I was 6 years old. And I could continue to do that, just not sharing them with anybody, not podcasting them. And it would be easier. There would be less pressure. Although, frankly, most of the pressure is self-inflicted. I was talking to somebody, was yesterday or the day before. He doesn't have a 9-to-5 job. He's his own boss, and he says, you know, I can't really take vacations like other people do, because I feel guilty when I do, when I, like, take a few days off, because I know that the work is piling up, and nobody's going to do it but me, and I felt like I knew what he was talking about there, like, being a writer, or being a podcaster are like working for yourself, where it's like, anytime you slack off, or you just go do something fun, you've got to weigh it against what you know you should be doing, what you could be doing, you know what I mean, with your art. I guess that's what it is. And I don't know that podcasting is art, you know? Certainly there are some that make art with what I'm doing right now. But it is like working for yourself and having a job where nobody's going to do it if you don't do it. You know, I've been struggling, as I said. I have my audio work, which is great. And there are usually deadlines attached to that. For example, on Water in the Desert, I had gotten some donuts earlier in the day, and I'd forgotten about them. I'd put them in the refrigerator for dessert, and then I'd forgotten. And I had in the back of my mind, you know, donuts go bad. They get hard. If you don't eat them, you better eat it. And then I told myself, look, I'm going to work on this audio for Abby. And as a reward, when I'm done, I'll have one of those donuts. And I didn't finish. I didn't get to the end. By the time this episode airs, of course, it will be available and out there. But I ate the donut anyway. And I just thought about it right before I started recording this. I did work on it for a good long time. But did I really deserve that donut? And yeah, that's a rhetorical question. Because the answer is yes. F yes. I paid for the donut with my own money. It's going to go bad if I don't eat it. And it was delicious, guys. It was ambrosia. It was the goddess Aphrodite's personal donut. But Abigail Hilton manages to write these books and novellas and short stories every year. Not because she's a full-time writer and that's what she does for a living. No, no, she has a real job, a regular job. She does this because she has to, because she makes herself do it. And I don't know if I am as talented as Ms. Hilton is, but I certainly don't work as hard as she does. So there you go. Maybe that's the difference. At the time of this recording, I am trying to be a writer. I'm trying to write every single day. But I have to admit that there are times when my heart just isn't in it. For example, last night, when I finished with the donut, I was yawning, I was tired, I knew I wasn't going to do any more on Water in the Desert. But I realized I hadn't written the whole day. And so I looked at the clock and it was 2:45. So 2:45 a.m. And I did sit down and I did write. And I think I only made it till like 2 or 3 minutes after 3 before I was just like, I can't do this anymore. But that's a step toward being a real writer. Is I said I would do it. Nobody's going to make me do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Not because it is easy, but because it is hard. Sorry, I don't know why I did that. Right now I write every day. We're going on 3 weeks of writing every single day. But I know that eventually I'm going to stumble and I'm going to miss a day. And then your chain is broken. It's like at the back of the warehouse where you've got the sign right there by the clock-in machine. You know what I'm talking about. The sign that says X days without an accident. And yeah, you can get up to like 32 days, 33 days. Yeah, guys, oh no, Jeremy. Oh, I'll get his fingers. You get some ice. And it goes down to zero. It doesn't matter that you had 34 days without an accident. What matters is that you had an accident and now you have to start from scratch. I know that there will come a time when I miss a day and it's done. This chain of writing is over. And if it's anything like last year's chain, it will be interesting to see what I accomplished during that stretch. So far, I've accomplished nothing because I started my project on that first day and I have not yet finished it. The project just gets bigger and fatter and uglier as time goes by, especially uglier, guys. But if I could finish this and put it behind me and then start on something else, something new, something fresh, something I haven't even thought of yet, maybe I could finish that and maybe I'd have something else. And just that sort of stuff is really neat. When I will open one of my notebooks and look at the various projects that are in it and be like, oh, I had forgotten I even wrote this. And oh, I have no idea what this is. Cool stuff. Anyhow, feel free to check out Water in the Desert if you'd like. I get paid the same either way. And then, yeah, as soon as that's done, I've got another project for her that I've got to do. But in this case, it's good. It's inspiring. It's making me think about myself as a writer and what I need to change. And yeah, you can't go wrong trying to get better at something, trying to work harder at something. Can you? I don't know. We'll see. Good night.